Well, it's a privilege to be with you once again to open up God's Word and share the Holy Bible. God's Word, things that can absolutely change our life as He would work in us. Join with me as we have a prayer of illumination that God might speak to us today through His Word. Heavenly Father, in our hands and within our midst is the Bible, the precious Word of God. Today we declare its contents to be authoritative, accurate, absolute, and applicable to our life. Heavenly Father, may Thy Word be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive what You would have for us this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we want to talk about storms. In particular, how do we deal with storms in our life? David experienced storms. People in the Bible experienced storms. Paul experienced storms. Daryl shared about Francois in his trip to Chad. That was a storm. Many problems, many difficulties. Let me invite you to take your Bible. Let's turn to St. Luke chapter 8, the third gospel in your New Testament. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. For those of you that are willing and able, let me invite you to stand in honor and in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Hear now the good news of the gospel. The stories of Jesus Christ recorded in Luke. Hear now the words of Jesus, verse 22. One day Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got in a boat and set out. And as they sailed, He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey Him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. May He add His blessing to this, the reading of His holy word. Amen. In recent years, the United States and places across the globe have experienced a number of major storms, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, winter storms, wildfires, tsunamis have all had great impact and taken their toll, even over the last couple decades. In January of 2014, the Southeast experienced crippling winter snowstorms affecting six states from Louisiana to North Carolina, including tremendous snow in Georgia. If you think back to 2014, you might have had a little snow on the ground here in Valdosta. But up north, it was something entirely different. Northern Georgia, over 50 shelters were opened. Over 3,000 school children were stranded at schools overnight. They had a snowstorm. In 2013, the Great Metro Tornado sieged Oklahoma City with a destructive tornado that was over 1 mile in width, ripping across the city. Imagine a tornado 1 mile wide. That was a storm. In 2019, we experienced the endless flood that saturated the Missouri and Mississippi valleys with rain and flooding that lasted for months. In 2018, Hurricane Michael became the fourth Category 5 hurricane in history to landfall and rip through the Florida panhandle. The storm caused over $1 billion damages in Alabama and over $4.7 billion $4.7 billion in damages in southwest and central Georgia. In the town of Donaldsonville, Georgia, over 99% of the homes were damaged. And in Albany, 3,000 structures were damaged, a relatively close city to Valdosta. Storms are all around us. In 2017, Hurricane Harvey hit Texas, flooding over 200,000 homes and causing over $130 billion in damages. Over a time span of a few months in 2017 to 2018, destructive wildfires in California burned over 1 million acres of land and over 32,000 structures. And for those of you that looked at the internet feed or watched the news the last couple days, you'll see that outside of Maui, part of Maui County, Hawaii, an entire island was burned, over 3,000 structures destroyed, nearly the entire island wiped out, with people in the water struggling to survive as their island was ablaze. I had a friend who loved to watch storms. Most of us try to avoid storms. We take shelter from storms. We evacuate and escape storms whenever possible. Fortunately, most of us here today are blessed, and I would suspect that most of us here have not experienced the types of storms we just discussed directly in our lives. But we all face storms. A bad report from the doctor. A spouse saying, "I want a divorce." The loss of a close friend or family member. A house entering foreclosure. The loss of a job through layoff or downsizing. The pressures of raising a family in today's culture. The struggles in battling against temptation or addictions or problems. The list could go on and on. We all face storms. I stopped by this morning to tell you, if you've never had a problem, if you've never had a heartache, if you've never had a disappointment or letdown, if you've never had a hardship or an obstacle or a trying time or a difficult situation, just wait, you will. And when you do, I've got good news. I've got good news for you today. Jesus Christ can calm the storm that comes to your life. Throughout our journey in life, we often find ourselves in one of three spots: entering a storm, enduring a storm, or exiting a storm. We may be in a period of peace, but about to enter a storm. Or we may be in the very midst of a storm, in a period of enduring the storm. Or we may be exiting a storm. We may be in a period of exiting a storm when we once again enter a period of peace. But storms do come. And when storms come, we need to be able to respond to the storms as God would have us respond. In verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Jesus led his disciples directly into the storm. Jesus did not lead his disciples away from the storm, but instead Jesus led his disciples through the storm. Oftentimes God does not remove our storms. Oftentimes God does not eliminate our storms, but God will always go with us through our storms, and God will always guide us out of our storms. The old gospel song says it well when it says, "Lord, don't move my mountain, just give me strength to climb the hill." Jesus wants to calm the storm in our lives. So why does God allow storms into our life? What's the point of them? Well, first of all, storms can bring about salvation. Storms can humble us to a point of making a decision for Jesus, letting Christ calm our storm by giving Jesus every area of our life under His complete lordship. A difficult situation or storm can bring about salvation in someone's life. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth you confess and are saved. Storms can bring about salvation. Number two, storms can foster spiritual growth. Storms can foster spiritual growth in our lives. Storms can cause us to trust the Lord as the answer to our current problem and remind us that God is ultimately the answer to all of our problems. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Storms can foster spiritual growth. Number three, storms can draw us closer to God. Storms can cause us to spend time with God, to get to know Him better as we submit our lives to Him in holy worship and honor Him for who He is. Psalms 29 says, ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Storms can draw us closer to God. And finally, number four, storms can give us a testimony of God's deliverance and power. Storms can cause us to seek after God, to put our faith in Him and Him alone for deliverance, to gain the assurance that God has the power to keep us. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul's recounting this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Could I add in storms? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Storms can give us a testimony of God's deliverance and power. In other words, when I face a storm, then I am strong. God's grace is sufficient. So these are some of the reasons God allows storms in our life. They can bring about salvation. They can foster spiritual growth. They can draw us closer to God. They can give us a testimony of God's deliverance and power. Ira Sankey penned an excellent hymn, Shelter in the Time of Storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. And then the refrain tells us where we turn in the storm. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in a time of storm. So we looked at why we experience storms. Let's look quickly at how we deal with the storms in our life. This morning I'd like to offer three responses of how we should deal with storms in our life. Number one, don't ignore your storm. God will speak to the storms in your life. Don't ignore your storm. God will speak to the storms in your life. Pretending it does not exist won't make your storm go away. The sooner we face the storm, the sooner the storm can be calmed. Notice in verse 24 of our text, the disciples went to him, woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. God will speak to the storms in your life. In Luke 8, we read that Jesus led his disciples into the storm. Jesus did not ignore the storm. There was a man in church. He heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and he simply said, "This doesn't apply to me." And he ignored it. He passed it on to the guy behind him. That must apply to somebody else. He went to church. He tried to be a good person. But when the Holy Spirit prompted his heart, he would simply ignore it. When he thought about letting Jesus into his heart, making Christ Lord over every area of his life, he would struggle for a few minutes and ignore the prompting. Don't ignore the prompting. Don't ignore your storm. Let Jesus calm the storm in your life. Ree Pashley resides in Tanzania and recalls living through a storm. She did not ignore her storm. Instead, Ree let God speak to the storm in her life. Ree did not face a physical storm. The weather was fine. But Ree did in fact face a storm in her life. Ree's son was in the neonatal intensive care unit, unable to breathe on his own. His breath and his health was out of her control. Ree's father-in-law was ill. Ree's car wouldn't start. Ree's home had major plumbing issues. Was anything going right? What a storm Ree was experiencing. As much as she tried not to worry, deep down she really did not feel too hopeful. Ree was in fact facing a storm in her life. Proverbs 29 says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." In the midst of the thundering waters, God is over the flood. God blesses his people with peace. Although Ree could not will air into the lungs of her son, although Ree could not make her father-in-law well and return him to full health, although Ree had a broken car and was facing major plumbing problems, Ree decided to place her trust in Christ. Ree decided to let Jesus calm the storm in her life. God rules over the flood. God rules over the hard, ugly aspects of our life. And Ree declared that in recognizing God's power in every aspect of her life, she could ask God for his blessing and his peace. Life may feel difficult, but God can give us the strength and the peace, knowing that God rules even in the flood. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. That's a promise for you and for me. Just like Ree, you and I are afforded the opportunity to let Jesus calm the storm in our life. Number one, don't ignore your storm. God will speak to the storm in your life. Number two, don't complain about your storm. God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. Don't complain about your storm. God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. Complaining about the storm won't make it go away. God is not impressed when we complain about our storm. God is not moved when we complain about our storm. St. John 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, they will never be lost. No one can snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is more important than anything, and no one can snatch it from the Father's hands. I and the Father are one." As one of God's sheep in His sheepfold, we are to hear God's voice speaking to us. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to shape us, to mold us, to change us, to make us. We are to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd. Don't complain about your storm. God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. There was a woman who had a sore leg. She was always complaining about her leg and how it hurt. Then one day, the woman saw a little boy hobbling down the street with a crutch. The boy had no leg. The woman never complained again. Don't complain about your storm, for God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. Deborah lives in California and made a trip to visit her husband's family in Australia. While visiting relatives in Melbourne, Australia, Deborah and her husband were sitting in the backyard visiting with the family members and waiting for dinner to be served. 4-year-old Jesse skipped around, seemingly lost in life in his own little world. Jesse squirmed around during the meal and then vanished. He slipped out and went to his room. But then suddenly Jesse appeared. He thrust a piece of purple construction paper at Deborah, mumbled a few words, and started to walk away. Deborah was puzzled and asked Jesse, "What did you say?" Jesse spoke a little louder and clearer and said, "It's a bird, and I love you." Yes, after looking closely at the crude drawing on the purple construction paper, Deborah could clearly see two large eyes and a crooked large beak. That moment reminded her how we often miss, or nearly miss, God's voice saying things to us. In the midst of a storm, we often fail to hear God's voice right away. We may be complaining about the storm, but God will speak to us in the midst of the storm. God may be saying, "Look above your storm and see the new dawning. I love you." Or maybe God is saying, "It's a terrible loss. I know you are suffering, but I am here for you and I love you." Like Deborah being distracted and receiving the love note from her 4-year-old nephew, our attention may be elsewhere when God is trying to hand us our love note. We may be worried or distracted. We may be ignoring the storm, or we may be complaining about the storm, or we may just be in the midst of struggling with the storm. We may glance at the words and simply not comprehend. We may not fully hear. We may not realize. But thankfully, yet thankfully, God persists. And if we listen, in the very midst of the storm, we can hear, we can comprehend, we can realize, and God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. Deborah framed Jesse's picture and hung it by her desk. Its huge eyes and funny-looking beak is a constant reminder to her that God's eyes are on us. Firmly in God's gaze, we can feel comforted and reassured that God is speaking to us in the midst of our storm. Number one, don't ignore your storm. God will speak to the storms in your life. Number two, don't complain about your storm. God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. And then finally, number three, face your storms. Let Jesus calm them. God will speak to the storm that is in you. God will speak to the storm that is in you. Church family, we must learn to rise above our problems, rise above our heartaches, our disappointments, our letdowns, our hardships, our obstacles, our habits, our battles, our struggles, our trying times, our difficult circumstances, the storms of life. Face the storms. Let Jesus calm them. We must rise above our storms. How do we do this? Well, we don't do it in and of ourselves. We do it through Christ. 1 John 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Jesus Christ living in you, living in me, the Holy Spirit residing in you, residing in me, is everything we need to face our storms and let God speak to the storm that's inside us. Philippians 4:13, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Face your storms. Let Jesus calm them. God will speak to the storms that are in you. In the very center of your storm, in the very midst of your storm, when life's waters are turbulent, when your boat is about to capsize, when the storm is raging, Jesus will be right there in the midst, waiting to calm the storm for you and for me. Face your storms. Let Jesus calm them. God will speak to the storms that are in you. Sometimes there's things in us that's got to come out. We go to God in humble prayer, and God speaks to the storm that's in us. Jesus Christ is in the storm calming business. God will speak to the storms in your life. God will speak to you in the midst of the storm, and God will speak to the storm that's in you. I close with this true story. The time frame was the mid-1800s. The location was New York. Horatio Spafford was in New York conducting business and experienced a delay. He was not able to leave New York as originally scheduled. Horatio stayed back on business, but his wife and three daughters went on ahead of him. They boarded a ship and set sail from New York back to England. A storm arose. The ship collided with another ship, and hundreds of people died that day at sea. Back in New York, Horatio received a telegram. Now remember, in those days, telegrams were quite expensive, so the message was very short. Horatio received a telegram from his wife that read this, "Saved, but alone." The message was clear. Horatio's wife was alive, but all of his daughters died at sea. In the midst of this storm of life, Horatio didn't turn his back on God. Horatio didn't blame God. Horatio held fast. And Horatio let Jesus calm the storm in his life. And Horatio Spafford penned this great hymn. "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." In the midst of the storm of life, Horatio Spafford said, it is well, with my soul, it is well, with my soul." Horatio Spafford let Jesus calm the storm in his life. the text of our message. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." God will speak to the storms in your life. God will speak to you in the midst of the storm. And God will speak to the storms that are in you. Just like he calmed the storm in those waters so many years ago, Jesus wants to calm the storms in the waters of our life today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, we thank you that as your child, as a born-again believer, as Jesus Christ lives in us, that we have everything we need for success and for victory over the storms of life. Father, you never promised us a carefree life. Quite to the contrary, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." In this world, there will be storms. Father, we thank you that we have success in our life through the storm. Holy Spirit, would you work in our mind? Would you work in our spirits? Would you rise up in us? Make us have a good response when storms come our way. That we can remember that you will speak to the storms in our life. That you will speak to us in the midst of the storm. And that you will even speak to the storms that are inside us. That we might have victory. That we might have life. That we might have a testimony of your grace and your power, that we can take the good news of the gospel to others as they're going through storms and let them know that we know a man that can calm the storm. His name is Jesus, and he wants to be your Lord and your Savior and your Master. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. As we get ready to sing our closing hymn, please be reminded that these altars are open. If you have a storm in your life that you want to pray about, you can come pray privately, or I'll be happy to pray with you. So receive now the blessing that God instructed to be spoken over his children. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord let his countenance rest upon you and grant you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.